Discouragement, part one, selected scripture. We've been going through the book of 1 Timothy, and we just completed our study of that, and I want to launch into 2 Timothy verse by verse, but before we do, I want to digress, and I want to look at the subject of discouragement. What does the Bible have to say about discouragement? It is a universal struggle, and Christians are not immune from experiencing discouragement in their life. Throughout church history, if you read it, you will discover that many of God's people, even within the Bible, struggled with discouragement. Some temperaments tend to battle it more often due to their personality or the life circumstances that they are dealing with on a regular basis. And it's important that we know how to handle our discouragements biblically, because if left unchecked, it can inhibit our walk with God and our effectiveness in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is discouragement? Well, we can define it by looking at its opposite. The opposite of discouragement is encouragement. And when you encourage somebody, you give them hope or you give them confidence. And so discouragement means a loss of hope or a loss of confidence. Now, discouragement is similar to depression, but it is different than depression. And if discouragement left unchecked, it can lead into depression. What are the differences between depression and discouragement? Well, depression is often prolonged, whereas discouragement tends to be transient or short-lived. With depression, there is a loss of hope, whereas with discouragement, you can still enjoy some activities. People that are often depressed say that they feel abandoned by God, whereas people that are discouraged are generally spiritually stable. They don't feel abandoned by God. With depression, they often say they can't shut off the negative thoughts, whereas with discouragement, they often can control their thoughts to a certain degree. People that struggle with depression, there is a lack of concentration, whereas with discouragement, there tends to be more of a concentration. With depression, people who struggle with that tend to isolate themselves from others, whereas people that are discouraged tend to still be open to others to a limited degree. People that are dealing with depression often say there is a lack of motivation, whereas with discouragement, there is still a degree of motivation. And finally, sometimes with depression, there may be chemical imbalances going on, whereas with discouragement, it is typically not a chemical imbalance, but rather it is relational or circumstantial. How do you deal with discouragement? We must know how to deal with it biblically, because it can cripple us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And we've all experienced discouragement in our life, and it's weighed us down. Typically, you could tell from a person's countenance that they are struggling with discouragement. You'll see them and you'll go up to them and say, "Hey, what's wrong with you? You seem to be off today," or "You seem to be off this month." You could tell something's weighing them down. Well, what I want to do in this series is give you the causes of discouragement along with some biblical cures. The first cause of discouragement is fatigue. When you're physically, emotionally, or spiritually exhausted, you are more prone to discouragement. We've all experienced this in our life when we are exhausted physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Sometimes we have an unbalanced schedule in our life. Sometimes we are overworking ourselves, and that could be in the Lord's work. We're not getting enough sleep. We're under stress in our life at home or in our job. Or something's going on in our life and it's creating this fatigue. And often, if we are under the weight of fatigue for a period of time, it can generate discouragement in our life, because we are emotionally, physically, and spiritually depleted. And when we don't have the energy that we need, it often affects us mentally and we become discouraged. We see a good example of this in Elijah in the book of 1 Kings. If you remember the story, Elijah just got done having a showdown with the prophets of Baal, and he taunted the prophets of Baal, and he told them, "Let's see whose God is truly God." And as you know the story, Elijah prayed to God, and God rained down fire from heaven and consumed the altar and all the water that was on it. And as a result, God demonstrated himself to be God. All the prophets of Baal were killed, and as a result, Jezebel, who was married to Ahab, they were ruling at that time in Israel, they wanted Elijah's life. And so as a result, Elijah was afraid. It says in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3, he ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, and while he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. He said, I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. And so here we could see his discouragement manifesting itself in the fact that he wanted to take his life. He was running from Jezebel. God has just demonstrated his power miraculously through Elijah. You figured Elijah would be bold. He would stand up against Jezebel. And yet here, he's running for his life. And he's on this day's journey in the wilderness. He comes to a bush. He sits down under it, and he prays that he might die. He says, Lord, I've had enough. Have you ever felt that way before, where you say, Lord, I've had enough? And the implication is he's fatigued here. He's tired. I've had enough, Lord, of dealing with my kids. I've had enough with my job. I've had enough with my ministry. I'm overwhelmed, Lord. He wants to take his life. In fact, in Romans chapter 11, verses 2 through 4, we get insight into Elijah and his attitude of discouragement. Paul says, don't you know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he appealed to God against Israel? He said, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me. You see his perspective here? Very, very narrow. Why? Because he was fatigued. In verse 4, Paul says of Romans 11, and what was God's answer to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. He says, Paul, your perspective is jaded. I have reserved for myself 7,000 who will not bow the knee to Baal. And so God gives Elijah the antidote for his discouragement due to fatigue. In verse 5 of 1 Kings 19, it says, then Elijah lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. So the first thing was, he got good rest. And then the angel woke him and said, get up and eat. He looked around in verse 6, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals. Now imagine having an angel come to you and cook you a meal. Wouldn't that be great? It's heavenly bread. And a jar of water. Now I would prefer a Coke, but they didn't have it in that day. And it says he ate and drank, and they lay down again. He went back to sleep. And listen, sometimes, not always, but sometimes one of the antidotes to dealing with fatigue is you need to get proper rest, and you need to make sure that you're eating properly and you are getting liquids in your body. It could be that physically he was depleted. He needed food. He needed rest. He needed water. He was dehydrated. And as a result, he gets the proper rest that he needs. And he eats and he drinks. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord came back a second time, touched him and said, get up and eat again, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And we know the rest of the story, that God spoke to him in a still small voice. And so listen, don't underestimate the power of fatigue. Fatigue makes cowards out of all of us, like it did Elijah here. Fatigue is what led to his discouragement. Now, there may have been other issues as well, but Elijah no doubt was fatigued. He was mentally, emotionally, and physically drained. And as a result, he was able to eat and he was able to get the proper rest. And so maybe the reason why you are discouraged in your life right now is because you are fatigued, you are overwhelmed. You have an unbalanced schedule in your life. And I understand some of you may be single mothers and you have to pull the load. You have to work. You have to clean the house. You have to take care of your child or your children. You have to do the chores in the house and you don't have much help. And you know what? The Lord understands that. And I realize that you are working very, very hard, but you need to pray that you will have opportunities to get away. You need to look for people in the body of Christ that will give you a break with your children, or maybe will come in and clean your house. As much as possible, you need to make sure that you have a balanced schedule, that you are not working yourself to death to the point where you're not getting proper sleep and you're not eating properly. I know sometimes we tend to think that that's not spiritual, but the reality is our souls and our bodies are linked to one another. They are distinct, but they are linked to one another, and the physical does affect the spiritual. So we need to make sure that we are taking proper care of our body. And it may mean that if you are fatigued and that's causing your discouragement, you need to take some time to get away. One person says we need to divert daily, we need to withdraw weekly, and we need to abandon annually. And what they mean by abandon is you need to have time away for at least a week. Now, I realize some people don't have that privilege. They may not get that time off, or you may not be able to afford a vacation, but you can take off of work and you can rest yourself. You can recalibrate yourself. And so one of the causes of discouragement in our life could be fatigue. Now, sometimes it's a combination of the things that I'm going to share with you, but if fatigue is the source of your discouragement, you need to take intentional steps of getting the rest you need, having the proper diet, and I would also include exercising. This is very important. Paul does say in 1 Timothy chapter 4 that bodily discipline does profit little. He doesn't say it doesn't profit at all. It does profit little, and we know from modern science today that a limited amount of exercise releases endorphins in your brain. It affects you physically. It gives you more energy, and it's very, very beneficial. Well, there's a second source of discouragement in our life, not only fatigue, but frustration. When circumstances are not going the way you want them to, and you try to change them to no avail, you often get discouraged. When people are not changing or they let you down, that can lead to discouragement. You may be trying as a wife to change your husband, which I'm not saying is the right thing to do, but we often try to change people. And when they don't conform to what we think they should be doing or who they should be, we can get discouraged. Or people let you down. You get disappointed with people and you are frustrated. Sometimes the frustration comes by you're tired of dealing with the same old issues in your circumstances or with other people, and so you get frustrated, and as a result, it leads to discouragement. Or you work hard and end up empty-handed. You work really hard on your job, you work really hard in your marriage, you work really hard in your parenting, you work really hard in your ministry, and you feel like you don't see the fruit of your labor. That creates the frustration, which leads to discouragement. Or maybe you've been praying about something and you're not seeing an answer to prayer. We see an example of potential frustration that leads to discouragement in the book of Acts, Chapter 27, verses 18 through 20. Paul, as you know, is on his perilous journey. He appealed to Caesar, and one of the kings said to Caesar, "You will go." And so he's on a ship boarded on his way to Rome. And they were knocked off course by a hurricane or a nor'easter. And it says in verse 18 of Acts 27, "We took such a violent battering," Luke here is describing this, "We took a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. The storm was tearing up the ship. They were afraid they were going to sink, so they made all this effort to throw the cargo overboard." And it says on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. They're losing all this stuff. And then in verse 20, we see their frustration when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging. Here it is. We finally gave up all hope of being saved. Now, I know it doesn't say that They were frustrated. It doesn't say that they were discouraged, but that's exactly what is implied. Imagine if you're on the ship, you're being battered by a storm, you're having to jettison much of the cargo, and after all that effort, the sun nor the star appear because of the storm, and they finally give up hope of being saved. They thought they were doomed. They thought all was going to be lost. They were frustrated because no matter what they did, it didn't hope. It didn't help. And so, sometimes when you and I are frustrated with life circumstances, we are frustrated with people in our life, what that can do is it can lead to discouragement in our life. And so, how do we deal with frustrations? And there's no easy answer to that because we're going to deal with frustrations throughout our life. People will irritate us. Circumstances will frustrate us. Well, I think there's several things biblically. Number one, if your frustration is leading to discouragement, you need to obviously rely on the power of God. You need to depend on God's Spirit and come to God and say, Lord, I can't do this in my own strength. I am frustrated. I mean, they gave up all hope of being saved when they were on that ship. And then, of course, God delivered by his mercy. An angel appeared to Paul and told Paul that he was going to make it to Rome. He was going to testify in Rome. And then I love when the angel said to Paul, and God has graciously given you the lives of all the people on this ship. You see, God gave them encouragement in the midst of their discouragement or their loss of hope. They needed God's power, and God's power was manifested in the delivery of that angel. Another thing is, if your frustration is leading to discouragement, you need to relinquish control. Many times we want to control people, we want to control our circumstances, and sometimes that leads to the frustration. And so we need to back away, and we need to stop being so controlling. Biblically, we also need to be patient with people, we need to be patient with circumstances, and we need to persevere. The Bible talks about bearing up under difficult circumstances. The Bible talks about running the race with endurance, Hebrews chapter 12, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We are called to persevere and not quit, and to be patient and endure. And then, of course, if you want to deal with your frustrations over your circumstances or other people that are causing the discouragement, you need to have somebody that you can sit down and talk to. In James chapter 5, he says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And that healing there is not just physical healing. The context of that particular chapter in the book of James, he's probably talking about spiritual and emotional healing. Because many of those Jewish Christians were being oppressed and persecuted by the wicked rich, according to chapter 5, and some of them were even losing their lives. And so the elders of the church would pray over these beleaguered Christians, and he's saying to them, when the elders pray over you, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. It's not just the elders who are doing the praying, but Christians are to pray to one another so that they may be healed. And that healing is to be spiritually strengthened. But he says, confess your sins to one another. That means you have to have people that you can go to, that you trust, and you can share your frustrations with them that are leading to the discouragement in your life. And so maybe you're discouraged because you're frustrated with life circumstances. You're frustrated in your marriage. You're frustrated in the raising of your children. You need to rely on God's power, relinquish control to a certain degree. You need to be patient and persevering, fixing your eyes on Jesus, and you need to share your frustrations with another believer in the Lord that you can pray with and confide in. And I would also add, you need to get into the Word of God. Because often we have to come to God in prayer and pour out our heart to God and pour out our frustrations to God. And we need to meditate on the Word of God because in that process, God infuses us and strengthens us. So what causes discouragement in our life? We all battle it from time to time. First of all, fatigue. Secondly, frustration. Thirdly is failure. We fail at something or we feel like a failure in our life, and many times that can lead to discouragement. Think about something in your life that you failed at. It may have been a project. It may have been school. It may have been a failed relationship. And sometimes you walk away feeling like a failure, and the failures in your life, whether relationally or circumstantially, can lead to discouragement. We see a biblical example of this in the life of Moses. If you remember in the book of Exodus, Moses was sent to Pharaoh, and he told Pharaoh to let my people go. God had called Moses to this. He was going to deliver the people of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and he was going to the most powerful man of that time, and he approached Pharaoh and said, let the people go. Well, of course, Pharaoh balked at that and said, I'm not going to let your people go. And what he did was he oppressed them in an even greater manner. He ordered that they make brick without straw. And what happens is in Exodus chapter 5, verse 9, it says, Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. You see, they were discouraged. They were under the weight of what Pharaoh was doing. And when Moses said to Pharaoh, let the people go, he thought God was going to do it instantaneous, but God had a process in mind. God had a particular purpose in dragging this out with the plagues because he wanted to demonstrate his power and his glory to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt. And when things didn't happen exactly the way Moses wanted it to, the people got discouraged because they were treated even worse. And it says in Exodus 5, verses 19 through 23, the Israelite overseers realized they were in trouble when they were told, you are not to reduce the number of bricks required you for each day. When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them, and they said, may the Lord look on you and judge you. You have made us obnoxious to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. You've made it worse for us. Our circumstances are worse. And see, they were discouraged because of failure. Moses was discouraged because of the failure of going to Pharaoh and things not turning out immediately like he wanted them to. The people were discouraged because they thought they were going to get delivered out of Egyptian bondage based on the word of Moses, and it didn't turn out that way initially. They were treated even worse. Now, next time, we're going to see the response of Moses and what he says as he prays to God.